You are listening to Strategy of Finance Clips, our short-form, topic-based content. Let's dive in.
You're now part of Stripe, which is, of course, a fintech company, and have multiple different streams of revenue, whether it's interchange or different kind of fees that they charge and so on. Having seen now that different business model so up close, do you have any thoughts between that pure SaaS recurring revenue business model versus kind of, a Stripe kind of a model, which is much more dependent on every transaction that their customers or at times the customers are doing?
So I personally feel that there's advantages to both business models. It's been actually incredibly interesting being a Stripe and having the opportunity to learn a different business model, learn the dynamics of it. There's a few things that I would highlight. So one, SaaS is in this world of incredibly strong margins. You know, the only reason a SaaS business would have a lack of profitability is because they're very, inefficient, or they don't have a product that people like, or they're just investing a lot in growth. Right. And that, all of those things can be realities that good companies experience at some point in time. Then maybe they grow out of them, they fix them. It is kind of easy to have good margins in SaaS. It is very hard to have good margins in payments. So Stripe is constantly thinking about the BIPs, the basis points of margin that we have on every deal. People might think, wow, like Stripe is making tons of money. Look at that, like three points of margin that they take on every transaction. They must be absolutely rolling in it. But the reality is that we have to pay our partners. So Visa and MasterCard end up taking most of that right off the top. There's only like, sometimes, 60, 70 bips that's left, even in a full, margin deal, one that doesn't have any discounting. Like we haven't been negotiated by the customer at all. So that's an important thing to be aware of. It's a low margin business. But, on the other hand, I would say it also has this like amazing TAM and in some ways, some really good economies of scale and some huge efficiencies. So let's talk about those individually for a moment. TAM is actually a challenge for SaaS businesses. Maybe at times in my career, I have like thought of SaaS as like being a gold mine and have this like super high ceiling. But actually, even at Zendesk, for example, when we looked at the TAM that we really thought we could go after, I mean, let's say it's more like the SAM, like we did some exclusions based on customers we're actually likely to be able to win. It was something like, I want to say like 10 billion, 10 to 20 billion, which, yeah, it's a lot of money. But actually, if you're trying to be a, trillion dollar business or even $100 billion business, being in a $10 billion TAM is not good. You've got to like really expand that TAM, to be able to grow beyond, let's say, $50 billion, because you're not going to get the whole TAM. There's a ton of other competitors in the space, so you're not going to get $10 billion. And on top of that, it's just going to get harder and harder to grow when you're starting to reach the upper ceiling of the TAM. So your growth rate's going to be completely limited. You're not going to have revenue that can translate into, high margin growth. And that's going to end up damaging your valuation. So you're not going to reach those lofty heights. In payments, if you think about the TAM, it is, let's say like a couple points on all of the revenue in the entire world that's being done digitally. And so we're talking about, I don't know, how many trillions of dollars as a TAM for payments. It's huge. And actually 1% of the GDP of the world is being done through Stripe. And so that's, a pretty, good bite taken out of the TAM of the world already. But there's still a lot more to go for companies like Stripe to look at. And there's, of course, like a lot of digitalization that's still possible for a lot of these businesses out there. And so that TAM is actually still growing and GDPs are growing. So I would say, there's some key differences on the TAM side. There's some key differences on the margin side. If we look at as well, just like the business models themselves, there's a big difference on the like complexity front. It was actually really interesting going from being a finance person at SaaS companies to being a finance person at one of the most complicated fintech platforms in the world. Because if you think about it in a SaaS business where especially there's like only one product, let's say, which you know, Zendesk had a couple minor products on top of core customer service and had some channels within customer support, different plans, you know, there's a little bit of complexity there. ClickUp had, you know, one product with a few plans, and it was a multifaceted product, but it's still basically one product. Go to Stripe, they have, I don't actually know how many dozens, literally dozens of products. And each of those products needs to be sort of specialized for every single country and every single market segment, and to some degree, each type of customer within each of those market segments. So if you think of a market segment as like a revenue band, you know, there's going to be differences between how you need to manage those products for an enterprise and the types of products you build for enterprises. And there's going to be differences in, you know, for example, again, on the industry point, if it's a platform that is repackaging your services versus if it's a e-commerce company, you're going to have very significant differences in how you're, you know, building that product. And then, you know, let's look at all the countries in the world. So do you think the regulations and the financial infrastructure and the bank processes of, you know, Uganda look anything like those that are in the United States? All the rules around all of that, they don't. It's like, it's all very different, actually. And so if you think about trying to create a payments provider that can actually legally interface with all of the different like banking and, you know, financial infrastructure platforms around the world, and do that reliably without making any mistakes, that is just the most incredible challenge to imagine actually building as a, you know, as a product. So Stripe has its own just like world of teams. Things like policy, you know, partnerships are incredibly important at Stripe. Reliability and security are incredibly important at Stripe. If Stripe ever got hacked, you know, that would be the end of Stripe, basically. You know, the reputation of the company would be shot. People would never trust it again. So it's just, it's dealing with challenges that you just don't even imagine in a SaaS business. So it's actually incredible to me that companies like Stripe have been as successful as they have with all of the challenges that they're facing. And it really, it comes down to, you know, there is also a really compelling financial, you know, prospect there. Like the business model does have a lot of advantages with that massive TAM, with the ability to just collect bips off of deals without having to be a part of every one of those deals. They're not really doing a lot of like customer service, you know, for each of those deals. It's more customer experience for the customers who are then having to handle, you know, their customers' interactions with payments. And so they handle that piece. So there's inherent advantages too. But overall, all that to say, it's a very competitive, you know, space because there's a lot of opportunity in it. But Stripe has done a remarkably good job, and it's a very complex space, remarkably complex.
Subscribe channel for more amazing content.